Real Flicks Reviews, Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. And this week's question is, if you were going to torture somebody, what movie would you pick? And our answers after a bit. And so far as movie news goes, it's been a little on the slow side. You did have Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, and Hugh Jackman basically say they're done.
We're
after
out.
This.
We're out.
I mean, I'm really not all that surprised. I mean, Patrick Stewart is getting a little up there and being kind of pigeonholed into one role at this point. It's probably not advantageous to his career.
Yeah.
The remainder of it, at least.
So I stumbled across something, I think, today or yesterday. Netflix is basically taking a blockbuster star, Will Smith, and putting him in their own film on Netflix that's supposed to be released December of this year. It's called Bright. I looked at the trailer. It's actually not too bad looking, but I was just kind of blown away that they took somebody like Will Smith, who is, I mean, basically a blockbuster star. Pretty much every film he's done has been a blockbuster, put him in this role.
I don't like Will Smith anymore.
You just don't like his kids.
No. I was trying to think of a last movie he was in that I really liked.
Hancock?
I didn't like that movie all that much either.
Oh, I loved Hancock.
I like Suicide Squad. I'm trying to think.
I liked him in Suicide Squad. I think he did a pretty good job.
He was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, oh, no, I definitely agree. But he hasn't done a lot of movies, I'd say, in the last 5 years that really speak to me. I mean, they're all kind of like After Earth, in my opinion.
What do you mean? You want to meet him?
Well, no. Have him shake your hand, talk to you? Concussion and Collateral Beauty and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's done some that aren't that great. But, I mean, as far as, like, he's probably one of the actors that has quite a lot of blockbuster films that, you know.
He's one of the blockbuster stars. I mean, yeah. The dude has a couple of shitty movies, Wild Wild West, but I mean, damn.
Even though that was still kind of
that was
success.
Still a blockbuster, yeah.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a blockbuster actor. He's not really one of my major actors anymore.
Think about this. Think about where Netflix started. Really. I mean, they were the big catalyst in shutting down blockbuster movie stores and mom and pops, pretty much. But they started out, you know, not that big of a company, and then it, like, exploded, and now they're getting this budget to be able to pay Will Smith to create a film? Think about that.
Oh, man. They've hopefully got so much money to throw around now.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah.
It's hopefully, like, we have to find some place to put all of it.
And hopefully it's better than the shit show Adam Sandler's been doing.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Sandler is on, like a 3 or 4 picture deal with Netflix.
God, I hope that ends
the
soon.
The first of which was the one that he did with David Spade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, those movies are horrible. And so, on the other interesting side, James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, apparently gave 20th Century Fox a script for Hitman Agent 47, which would have been a rated R script, something that they
Yeah, I heard
do.
That. They
turned him down.
Yeah, I was going to say they turned him down.
Which
yeah.
Rated R movies don't seem to be on the horizon all that much anymore.
Deadpool?
Hopefully that will be the return of good rated R.
Yeah.
But I love the video game, but I, like, part of me going, I hope they make it, but on the other hand, the last two weren't that great.
I mean, even the one with Timothy Olyphant, I mean, wasn't great, but it was the closest one to being good.
It was the best one out of the two?
I think there's three. Are there three, Ryan?
There's only two.
There's been an unnecessary amount of Hitman movies.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Really keep trying, like, nope, we can get it right next time.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they did to X-Men. So don't do that again.
Right.
Don't. Just
and
don't.
So, James is going to love this. Netflix reportedly snags Martin Scorsese's The Irishman. And is even though James really hates him, he's one of the few directors that almost every single one of his movies becomes a big hit. I mean, he's...
Well, yeah, I mean, he does have some iconic...
You mean like Shutter Island?
Well, that's my point is, but or, you couple that with Goodfellas and Departed and Wolf of Wall Street...
Goodfellas really wasn't that good either.
You know, I can sort of forgive the Shutter Islands and the Gangs of New York.
You mean Gays of New York?
What's the one that I can't stand?
Taxi?
No, I'm in a fugue state right now. I can't think of it.
I can keep throwing a lot of Scorsese under the bus. I mean, I prefer to push him and hold him down as the bus drives him over.
No, you want him to do it. Fat Kid Rules the World. Just him to step in front of
Scorsese. He's done more movies than people realize. Because so many of them were shitty, you just never heard of them. You know, but he has done those things like, hey, on occasion you do come up with, you know, the fucking Color of Money or something, you know. But
well, I do want to see the new one that he's coming out with that's going to be a blockbuster release of Kylo Ren.
Wait, hold on.
I already talked about this one.
I know, but every time you say it, I want to stop and have you repeat it.
I do want to see it. I didn't say I'm going to go theaters. And I just really hope he does a good job because I like the story of it, and it's about the Christians that were going to Japan and trying to convert the Japanese culture, and it's actually a really interesting story.
It's just the fact you said it is still kind of like,
Well, I mean, he could possibly do something decent.
Well, look, I mean, that's the kind of thing, you know, when he... I've become a little less precious over the years about sort of historical accuracies and things like that. Because, you know, whatever, I mean, just because I happen to know a certain thing about a certain period of time, you know, that us
a douchebag did
about, I don't know. It's like he happened to touch on the 2% of history that I know, you know what I mean? So I got a little indignant about it, but forgiving all of that, you know, I like to see drama in history, so I'm definitely in for Silence, for sure.
Yeah, I do want to see it. I mean, I'm not ecstatic or even remotely happy that it's Scorsese, but, you know, I'm going to give it a shot just because, I mean, even like Shamidali Lollipop Douchebag has, you know, The Sixth Sense, which is a good one. And I mean, I even do kind of enjoy Unbreakable for what it was.
See,
except for Samuel Jackson.
I hated Unbreakable, and I saw that in the theaters.
I just liked the you know, the beginning of it until, you know, Samuel Jackson goes on there, and it gets really dumb.
So we're going to skip ahead to something exciting. A new report is talking about Deadpool 2, which is entitled, the working title is Love Machine, and they mentioned Domino.
Oh, okay.
In the title, would be cool if she was actually in there, Domino being another comic book character.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. Didn't we have one of Domino a couple of years ago, like 2015?
Kira Knightley, was it Kira Knightley? If I remember correctly.
No, that's not that Domino. That was some dumbass half true story about some chick bounty hunter.
See, I wasn't actually sure. I never saw it. I heard more people make fun of it. It was on the list of if it's ever a rainy day and I have absolutely nothing to do. Because I kind of got burned out in Keira Knightley in Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'd rather look up midget porn than watch that movie again.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't do that.
And I'm kind of excited that the new trailers from Marvel's Iron Fist on Netflix.
I am excited for that one. Isn't that next month?
Has me excited about it. I didn't like Luke Cage. I tried to actually watch it and just haven't. I don't really have time to get into television shows, so it has to like snag me the first couple episodes.
Yeah, this one gets released March 17th.
And so
I am actually interested in this one because, like we said, I mean, Netflix has so much money right now.
Oh, yeah.
And even if Netflix, for some stupid reason, or any of you guys, for some stupid reason, are watching this show, I actually had a stack of your guys' envelopes like this tall, and I wanted to turn it in for the postage because it was probably a couple hundred dollars.
I do want a couple of things. Is Logan's confirmed to have a post credit scene, so stay until after the credits.
And what? Oh yeah,
Logan.
Yeah. The movie Logan.
So it'll definitely be. I'm looking forward to it.
I can't believe how much I'm looking forward to that movie. I'm still trying to avoid most things about it.
Do you want me to tell you?
One thing I wanted to say about Netflix doing Marvel things, look at Netflix's sensibility when it comes to things like Luke Cage or Punisher.
Daredevil.
Gotham or Smallville or The Flash.
Yeah, God.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm good with Netflix doing the superhero things because they seem to have a little better, you know, we don't have to throw the kitchen sink into this story right away sort of motive.
And I do have a correction for you, Ryan. It wasn't what they did with the Punisher, is what they did with the Daredevil story with the Punisher.
That's what I corrected myself.
And, oh, you cut out then.
There was another thing. I think Amazon won their first Oscar or something like that with one of the movies or originals they did.
The Tick?
No, they had produced something. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, it was the first time that a studio like that, like a streaming studio, has been nominated for something.
And I think that's awesome. It just proves the point that you don't necessarily need the backing of a big Hollywood studio.
Yeah.
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Do you love us, hate us? Let us know. The other thing is we are available on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and more. So the question of the week is, if you were to torture somebody for 24 hours, what would you pick? And I have the perfect movie for me.
All right.
I love the movie, mainly because I'm a Rankin and Bass fan, but I would totally torture somebody with The Last Unicorn.
Oh.
I like the movie because I love the animation style, so I would be laughing in glee and watching somebody being tortured.
All right. Okay.
James?
I actually came up with a few. I think if I was going to torture somebody, have them sit there, and I really don't want to compare this movie to what we were discussing about the other film, but 2001, A Space Odyssey. I think that torturing somebody with that, I mean, they would be going psycho and going, Davey.
Are you giving them pet pills to keep them awake?
Oh, yeah. I'd hold their nose up to a line of whatever.
Because it literally took me 12 days to watch it because I kept falling asleep.
And then I do have a couple honorable mentions as well. Dog Day Afternoon, Taxi, and one starring James Spader. Probably not very many people know about this film. Ryan Wood. Crash, made in 1996.
Oh shit. God. I haven't thought about that movie in forever.
Seriously.
Yeah. That would be another one.
Was that the one about the drug addicts and all that?
Yeah, they were drug addicts who were looking for another adrenaline rush, so they started crashing cars in basically everybody. And for some reason, this is not to be confused with Crash that came out in 2002.
For some reason, I think I saw one of them in the theaters.
Probably that one. I don't know if it made it out the theater. It's probably The Birdcage. So, yeah, Ryan?
Okay. So, Crash is pretty good. I can't believe how far you guys missed the mark, though. Wrong answers.
I'm waiting for you.
To this question. In the world of, you know, I figured one of you would choose, like, Batman and Robin or fucking Ballistic X versus Sev or something like that. But no, there is a correct answer to this question, and that's Battlefield Earth.
No, because that movie's hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to say, at some point, the dude's going to have his brain snap, and you're just going to hear him laughing in the room.
Well, come on, there's like Caveman basically learned how to fly a Harrier. That movie's hilarious.
If you come out of that, you're laughing like the Joker just hit you with some laughing gas.
What about Waterworld?
Dude, I saw that movie, and I was laughing my ass off as I was seeing it.
And don't you ever say an unkind word about Waterworld.
I could say a lot of unkind things about Waterworld.
Well, how many four-letter words?
Would you like a seven-page essay?
Don't threaten him, please. He'll actually, matter of fact, threaten him. He'll do it.
No, because then I have to watch it again.
Do it. Threaten him.
Oh, man. Is that it? I thought you said you had six.
I kind of narrowed it down. Okay. I mentioned in passing sort of the Batman and Robin, Catwoman.
Catwoman
X versus Sever. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would, yeah.
Super.
But, I mean, yeah, I was going to say Super and Buffalo 66. But I figured I'd kind of go outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, Buffalo 66, a little art housey, but there is fucking nothing wrong with Super. You guys are wrong.
There's a lot wrong with Super.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's called tentacle porn to start.
Anything awesome about that movie? I recommended that to James, expecting him to like it.
I know you did.
What was this about? You could have honestly said, "Hey, do you think James will like Super?" And I'll read it and go, "No, James will not like Super, especially when it's fucking Rainn Wilson."
I can overlook things. Sorry,
what about that movie at preview glance would James not like?
Everything. He's got it right. No, he's got it right there. I would read it, and I'd actually watch it. You know how many movies I've actually read about and then watched it and regretted it later?
No, as soon as I saw the trailer, I'm like,
probably double digits of movies that I've seen that I've regretted watching. Probably 11 to 12,000.
Well, how many did you actually not watch?
Just because I don't want to watch them?
Well, because this is coming from the guy like, oh, I hated this movie. So when did you walk out? No, I finished it.
Yeah. Well, we talked about one. The rotoscope Lord of the Rings. I turned that off and I was frying on acid and I still couldn't stand it.
Yeah, not even LSD would help that movie.
There's nothing that could have helped that movie. The only reason I like The Hobbit is it's Rankin and Bass, and that's it.
I'll tell you what, I thought it was on acid when I was watching fucking Wizards.
Yeah.
Super's bad. I can't believe I had to sit through that piece of shit.
It's definitely the one reason I like Wizards is I'll tell people if they want to watch something that is very 70s, because that cartoon is, you could 200 years from now they'll be watching like, oh, that's from the 70s, you know, because there's
no they won't. They will say what weird drugs were invented to make this movie.
Mescaline?
That is not indicative of the 70s. That's
oh no, that's very indicative of the 70s, especially
that is, no, that is a deviation. That is like an alternate universe of the 70s.
Well, because it's the animation style is super 70s. God. I'm actually surprised it wasn't made earlier, especially because of the way it's drawn. And now this nothing about that movie does not scream the 70s. It's almost ridiculous on how bad it is and how much enjoyment I get out of that movie because it's so awful. It's like something is so ugly it's cute for me.
Yeah.
It's basically your version of Super.
My version?
No, Ryan's.
Okay. I was gonna say, besides, I mean, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, how bad have I gone on this show?
Well,
I mean, and even that, it's a little nip in here. What does he mean? It's a little cold.
You're a trauma fan, so don't even start with me.
Again, bad on purpose is a different thing.
Yeah, once I found out that was actually what trauma was going for, I gotta say, their films are spot on.
Oh, yeah, and I might mean, I remind you that our good buddy James Gunn comes from trauma.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that's where he got his start, Romeo and Juliet. Well, maybe that wasn't his start, but I mean, yeah, he was one of the co-founders.
Actually one of their better films. I mean, yes. Romeo and Juliet and Redneck Zombies are probably the top ones until you get into the Class of Nukem High and Toxic Avenger. I mean,
I still don't believe Toxic Avenger became a cartoon series.
There's 9 Toxic Avengers, isn't there?
There's a lot of them. I was always surprised, though, it became a kid's cartoon series, especially, like, I saw it when I was a kid before the cartoon was on, but...
Dude, Beetlejuice became a cartoon kid's series.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, I mean, Rambo? That was fantastic. And what was the other one with the guy with the hair, the tall hair and shit? Oh, God, what was that one?
Samurai Jack? Oh,
no,
Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. No, not John DeRoe.
Freakazoid,
thank you.
Freakazoid.
Yeah.
That was one of those random cartoons that you're just wondering, what? Was this a bet? Was this a bet.
Yeah.
I just remember there being a bitchin' theme song.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the Freakazoid as a kid.
I did too.
I liked it more than Animaniac.
You know what?
I didn't like it more than
Animaniac. The day that needs to make a comeback, fucking Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
I didn't like that, actually.
Oh, that was the greatest.
I liked the cartoon Space Ghost more than I did like Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
So is there a cartoon series you'd love to see make a comeback and actually do it well? For me, it was the Thundercats. The remake that came out a couple of years ago was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Considering how cheesy the original was.
Yeah. I mean, I really dig the new Voltron because I was a big fan of Voltron as a kid.
I hate the animation style.
See, that doesn't bother me. The animation style doesn't really bother me at all. It's kind of like they want to be offshoot actual anime.
I'm such a fan of the hand-drawn original. Granted, it was made in the 80s, which was so... by the way, if you guys are wondering, the original, what's called Go Lion, which is what Voltron is really from.
But, I mean, if I want to actually take a cartoon series and actually do it really well, I would love them to take something like Spy versus Spy. And turn that back into a thing. Or something along the lines of the Animaniacs. Because, I mean, if you watch the Animaniacs now as an adult, like, minute by minute, the amount of jokes that came out of that, there is no cartoon that has that many jokes that fast coming at you.
And how perverted that show really was.
That's never going to happen again.
I mean, I would have loved to have been sitting in the screenwriter's room for that just to pick up the shit that they threw on the floor that they couldn't do. Oh, I guarantee there was stuff.
Well, they don't even have Saturday morning cartoons anymore because of some stupid fucking law. So that show's never going to be a go anymore. I mean, it really was. It was a point in time that'll never happen again.
I mean, they even made, like, racist cotton-picking jokes in it.
Oh, yeah. They made,
I'm not kidding.
They made a fingerprints joke. Like, fingering prints, literally. I mean, it's
No, I'm good.
No, it's hilarious.
There was some really above, like, just straight over the heads of the kids right to the parents, like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those moments. But it was sketch comedy for kids.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a variety show. I mean, you know, you see as an adult sketches like Katie Kaboom. You know, go back and watch some of those. That
Slappy Squirrel's still my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Something like Katie Kaboom was basically about like a teenage girl who's any little thing would set her off and she would turn into a monster. I guarantee you that was some 35-year-old father has a teenage girl, you know, and she blew up over something. He immediately went to his office and started writing that sketch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, guarantee it. Oh, yeah.
I miss quality cartoons. I mean, no offense to Cartoon Network, but Gumball is not exactly an amazing cartoon. If you look at my childhood and my parents' childhood, there were some amazing cartoons that come out in the early 90s, 80s, 70s, and 60s.
You know,
now, it's all a bunch of, most of it, not all of it, most of my favorite all anime are all Japanese based.
Yeah, there are a few ones.
They started kind of talking down to everybody. The beginning of the end was the stuff like the Dora the Explorer kinds of things. You know, where at that age, yeah, people might see it's like, oh, it's geared towards like 5 or 6 year olds. Like, man, at 5 or 6, I was watching. You know, like I couldn't get enough of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
But 5 or 6, I was watching Transformers, G.I. Joe. I was watching cartoons that didn't talk down to you. You were along for the ride and enjoyed the experience.
You know,
you actually learn things about the adult world in a kid's perspective.
Yeah.
The closest you got right now, and it is a Cartoon Network show, is surprisingly Teen Titans Go. Like, I didn't want to watch that shit at all, and my son ended up liking it. So I'd sit there and I'm watching it, and I realize there's a lot of adult comedy in Teen Titans Go that, I mean, it's a really half show. The animation isn't really great. I mean, it's kind of goofy for what it is. But, I mean, they had one where they basically turn everybody into a 64-bit game.
Oh, by the way,
that was crazy.
That's a very self-aware cartoon.
It is, and I was really surprised.
There's an episode where they watch the original Teen Titans and what happened to that show?
Yeah.
There
is some stuff that they have that is kind of like they try to do the jokes, you know, quality jokes per minute. But, I mean, it's nothing like what we had as kids.
I would say what I miss the most, and I only get this out of anime and very rarely, I don't even get this out of TV, is I want something that you see an episode and you're like, dude, I can't wait till next week. There's nothing that's like that for me. And I don't even hear kids doing that anymore. They're like, man, this is going to be great when it comes on next Saturday or whenever. Nobody has that. And now with Netflix, as much as I like it, you don't get, I can't wait. You can watch the next episode right there.
Yeah.
So there's no excitement, there's no buildup, and for me as a kid, that was half the fun, going, oh, sweet, this next episode of Thundercats or G.I. Joe or name a plethora of amazing cartoons as a kid. The 80s He-Man is hilarious, especially now.
Not to mention talking to your friends the next morning and say, oh, did you catch The Simpsons last night?
Oh, yeah.
You knew exactly what episode it was, and you're like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that one in a while, even if it was a rerun or something. There's no appointment viewing, so you don't get that sort of community that builds around it. It's like, oh, hey, have you seen this? No, I haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the conversation's like, hey, did you watch the new, Luke Cage? Like, yeah, I finished the season last night. It's like, what?
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, no, but have you seen this? And oh, no, but I'm watching this other thing. And it's all these, the Venn diagram doesn't cross over a lot anymore because there's so much shit out there.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of quality stuff. I mean, that's why we transition into doing TV shows so that, you know, people out there, if you're interested, or even for us, I find it fun to discover new TV shows. So, I mean, that is a good thing, but I mean, as an adult in this time frame and the what we have now, I actually like being able to binge watch certain things. Like, I love binge watching like Archer or South Park, or for you know. Sure.
But there's so much flotsam and jetsam out there now that it's for me it's really hard without actually having to have some free time and sit down and go no. I guess that's one good thing about what we do is. It's like, hey, we like the show. You guys should check it out because there is so much crap out.
There really is.
This will be good.
Wouldn't have watched Taboo if it wasn't for last week, and I've seen almost all of the first season so far.
Yeah, I'm caught up already. I've finished the first season already.
Yeah, it's just
tonight actually.
It's just horrible. I mean, there's amazing shows, and then you end up watching Nightman, which was an mid '90s show. If you want to see something horrible.
Or Beastmaster.
See, Beastmaster. Or Xena. See, MacGyver for the time was amazing.
Or what was the other one? The Wayans brothers.
Some of their stuff was pretty good. Well, if you want to talk about '80s show like MacGyver and some of that, like Knight Rider was very '80s. Will never be able to be remade and be a hit because it was a period of time that it was a perfect fit.
Yeah. Well. Yes, I had to throw the Wayans brothers under the bus.
By the way, that Beastmaster TV show sucked.
Oh yeah, it did. Then and they did another one too. But I did like the '90s Kung Fu.
Oh yeah, that was
pretty good. Yeah,
that was pretty tasteful.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.